Grace and peace, everyone. This is Pastor Garfield Crumbie from Divine Word Impact Kingdom Ministry. We are a ministry that is built for purpose and designed for impact. I am your host. Welcome to the Empowerment Zone. In continuing with the series concerning understanding the importance of studying God's Word, I began to deal with the Word of God as a transformer. I selected my train of thought from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, which reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that he may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There is just one particular word that I would like to break down or address in verse 2, which is the word, the mind. Why is it that God requires for our mind to be transformed? In Romans chapter 8, verse 6, it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, let's look at the word carnal. The word carnal comes from a Greek word which means flesh, which has come metaphorically to mean that which is natural, that which is physical, or that which dwells or exists within our realm or in our world. The word enmity there speaks of a deep hostility, antagonism, or hatred. The Greek word for enmity expresses a powerful, active, ongoing, and deep-seated oppositional conflict and not just a mere dislike. So how did this mind, this carnal mind, came to be? When God created man, he created him with one level of consciousness, which was the God consciousness. For the Bible says that the man and the woman, they were naked and knew it not. Man became self-centered. Man became self-centered in focusing on the perceived benefits to himself if he was to eat from the tree, according to Genesis 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the food thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So man became self-centered by focusing on the tree, and he became self-conscious or self-aware after eating the fruit. This is how the carnal or fleshly mind was born. The carnal mind then became the womb in which Satan planted the seeds of our disobedience and rebellion. As a result, the mind became Satan's stronghold or base of operation. The mind is the place of thought, of intellect, of reasoning, of rationale, and of logic. That's why the Bible in Ephesians 6 admonishes us to put on the helmet of salvation. And Peter in 1 Peter 1:13 instructs us to gird up the loins of our mind. So we see, therefore, then that the carnal mind, with this carnal mind, first of all, we cannot prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God, because it is diametrically opposed to anything pertaining to God.
That is why in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, we're told that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we see that the carnal mind is enmity against God, according to Romans 8:7. The carnal mind is worldly, according to 1 Corinthians 3:1-4. The carnal mind is self-centered, according to Romans 8:5-7. The carnal mind is deadly, according to Romans 8:6. The carnal mind is puffed up or arrogant, according to Colossians 2:18. The carnal mind is impure or defiled and disobedient, according to Titus chapter 1, verses 15-16. So we see here that the mind is a gateway. A gateway to what? It is not possible to speak concerning the mind without speaking of the heart. The mind is the gateway to the heart. The scripture says in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart of man is desperately wicked, and who can know it? In Hebrews 4:12-13, we're told that the word of God is the discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart, and that there's nothing that is hid from the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So when we study the word of God and meditate on the word of God, we are able to address the mind. We're able to transform the mind so that we're able to prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now let me just back up here and read verse 7 of Genesis chapter 3. It says here, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. That is when man became self-conscious. So man's self-centeredness and man's self-consciousness formed or created the carnal mindset that is diametrically opposed to the will and the purpose of God. So the Bible says in Genesis 1, when God created the heaven and the earth, he created the fowls to fly in the air, the firmament of heaven. He created the creeping things to creep on the face of the earth. And then he created the great creatures that swim in the deep. So the heavens here speaks of the mind. The earth speaks of the things that we do, the natural things, and the deep speaks of the heart. The Bible said that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, the earth, whether it was form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Bible said that the Spirit of God moved upon the water, and God said. Now you notice God moved upon the face of the water, but spoke into the deep. So the important thing is not just getting the word of God in our mind, but it's getting the word of God in the deep, in the depth of our heart. Because we can go to church, we can enjoy service, the Spirit of God can move upon us, and we leave from church with nothing, no change, no transformation, but nothing can happen until the word of God addresses our deep. No change or no transformation can take place until we allow the word of God, to speak into our deep, until we allow the word of God to put a protective cover around the airspace of our mind, until we allow the word of God to shed light upon the things in our life that we're not conscious of. Because the Bible says that darkness was upon the face of deep, and God said, let there be light. The scripture says that the entrance of his word is light, and thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So the word of God has transformative, life-changing, impacting power. But we must meditate on the word of God so we can deal with the things that is in the heavens of our mind, so we can deal with the things that exist in our lives, and so we can deal with the things that lurks in our deep that we're not aware of, because the mind is the battlefield. The mind is the battlefield, is the gateway of the heart, and that is why Satan is trying to retain control of the carnal mind, of the stronghold of the carnal mind, because what he's doing by doing that is weaponizing our mind against the will and purpose of God, is to use our mind as a base of operation. The Bible says we're to be vigilant and sober, because our adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The word devil there comes from two Greek words, dia, which means all the way through or all the way across, like diaphragm or diameter, and the word bolus, which means to throw an object continually in the same and particular place until you break through, all the way through. So what the enemy wants to do is to keep attacking our mind, to keep attacking our mind repeatedly. If it's low self-esteem, if it's bitterness, if it's the spirit of unforgiveness, whatever the issue is, the enemy will keep hitting our mind with that same temptation, with that same challenge, until he diabolizes, until he breaks all the way in and goes all the way across to take full control of our mind, of our heart, and of our life. That is why God requires for our heart, our mind, to be fully transformed, so our mind and our heart can become his base of operation. So our heart and our mind can become his stronghold. So our heart and our mind can become his throne room. So our heart and our mind can be his servant. So our heart and our mind can be yielded, submitted, and surrendered to him, because we're serving him out of a transformed heart. We're serving him out of a impacted heart. We're serving him out of a renewed heart, out of a renewed mind. We're serving him out of a regenerated spirit. We're serving him out of a renovated mind, a mind that has been made new, a mind that has been refurbished, a mind that has been renovated, a mind that has been renewed by the impacting, by the powerful, and by the transforming word of God. That is why it is so important for us to understand the importance of studying the word of God, and to give committed, dedicated, and devoted attendance to studying the word of God, that we may have that we may come into the transformed mind, that we'll be able to prove what is a good and perfect and acceptable will of God, that we may be able to walk in our fullness, walk in his will, and walk in his purpose as his will is concerning us. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And this is why God requires for our mind to be transformed, if we're to walk with him and if we are to please him.
I'd like to thank everyone for joining me on today's program. I invite you to join me next week, Saturday at 8:30, right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. God bless, and go in this thy might.